Hi, this is the Bone Collector. No, scratch that. The Italian-American Dragon, Dominic Guarini, member of Team Filthy. I'm ready for primetime, but you guys might not be ready for primetime wrestling, and that's what you're listening to, Not Ready for Primetime Wrestling.
Welcome to Not Ready for Primetime Wrestling, the podcast that doesn't know what it wants to be when it grows up. I'm Jared Jayhawk Hawkins, along with Charlie Butter. Charlie, it's been a long week.
It's been 17 years.
It feels like it's been 17 years. And the weird thing is, it's like I'm out of the house just as much as I ever was. I'm just not doing anything fun with it. I'm going to work. I'm going shopping. I'm going home.
Exactly.
But I'm out of the house just as much as I always was.
Right. Yeah. It's like, but now there's like that added threat of, am I going to get fucking a virus today when I go to this location to do this? Like, today I went to the dollar store to get my stuff for the week, and they are completely sold out of my ramen that I get. And so I live in Cortland. That one, I figure, okay, maybe it's, you know, just people being crazy, just buying everything out. So I was like, I'll take a drive out to Hartford, see if they got any out at that location, because it's a newer store or whatever. Drive out there. All they have is shrimp, the shrimp kind. So I buy what they have. They had five. I bought what they had. And I was like, well, I'm already out this far. I was like, I guess I should drive to Kinsman and see if they have any. So I drive all the way out to Kinsman, and they don't have any either. And I'm like, son of a bitch. And I drove all the way to Howland to theirs. They didn't have any. I was like, I can't fucking win. So I had to smurf my family out, which... for those of you that don't know, that's a fun drug term that I learned from Breaking Bad. Basically, I asked a bunch of my family members that if they go to their dollar store in their area to find the spicy chicken ramen and buy it, all of it, and I will pay them for it so that I can have my fucking spicy ramen, because no fucking place has it right now, and it's killing me. Like, it's what I eat, like, when I just want something random to snack on at home, and it's what I eat for my lunches at work, and I can't have it right now. I mean, I guess I technically got some the shrimp kind, but I don't really care for the shrimp kind as much as I like the chicken kind. So, it's hard times, man. hard times, daddy. And I know about
if
the hard
you ever
times,
take
so.
A trip down to Cobb County, Georgia. All right.
Weird story yep. about that, actually. Now that you bring up Big Boss Man with this, I'll keep going with this, all right?
Okay.
So I was looking at random, like, title belt entrances for my created wrestler on 2K20. And one of, like, it's, like, random, it's, like, just, like, general three title entrance is your guy entering with a fucking nightstick. It's a Big Boss Man entrance with the title. I was like, son of a bitch. I was like, if only you could use a nightstick in the damn game, I could have a whole gimmick for somebody built around that. But there's no damn nightstick in the game, so.
Yeah, I almost pulled the trigger on WWE 2K20, but the PlayStation Store had it for $20 this week.
Don't do it. Just wait.
Yeah. Well, here's why I didn't pull the trigger on it. One, if I knew my Final Fantasy VII Remake was coming out anyway, and that's what I'm going to be playing mostly the next couple weeks anyway.
Yeah.
Two, I found the latest Fire Pro with all the fucking expansions and shit for like 27.
Oh, there you go.
So I downloaded that instead.
I couldn't get into Fire Pro, man. I don't know. Just it wasn't what I wanted. Like, if they had a similar system to how 2K is with, like, the moves and stuff, I might be able to get into it, but it's too much grappling, and I don't know. It doesn't feel... I don't like it. I want to like it, because I like all the types of matches you can have and shit in it, and all the customization you can do with it, but...
Yeah, I honestly have been doing mostly the promoter mode, because I try to play the matches, and, like, I can't get the hang of... Doing the fucking tutorial, I can't get the hang of whipping the guy in the corner and then running into the corner and hitting him. Like, I can't time it right. So I went, fuck it, and I just doing the promoter mode.
So basically you're playing EWR on your
I'm playing EWR on my PlayStation, basically. And speaking of that, the new TW comes out on the 30th, I guess. I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited.
Yeah, I saw something about that. I wonder how that's going to be.
The live beta comes on like the 23rd. I'm probably going to download it and mech around with it because I should have most of that next week off when that beta comes out. So.
Oh, look at you getting a week off. Ooh.
Well, I put it in like 4 months ago because I thought I had a vacation, but you know, vacation.
Oh, kept that's anymore, right. So. Yeah. No, fun doesn't exist anymore. But it's funny, you know, we've been so good about not talking about it on this show for like 3 weeks now, and we've just broken it all down. We're getting to the point where it's starting to bother us to the point where we have to talk about it.
It really is, and I'm waiting for it. I'm going to get that call this week. Oh yeah, you've got that whole week off for your vacation. And I doubt it's happening right now. You're going to go into work, and I'm going to be like, I'm going to do my Ernie Ladd impression and be like, I need to wring my brain out for a little bit.
I got a horse that's sick. Fucking Terry Funkum.
I'm not booked, Terry.
I'm not booked that week.
I was supposed to be booked that week to cancel my booking, Terry.
You never know when your next match is going to be. Just fucking Jared's out in the backyard jumping on the trampoline with fucking two little weights.
Dude, so, if I had a fucking trampoline right now, dude, I'd be wrecking with the kid got in the backyard. Like, I'm not even going to lie.
Did you get a chance to watch the Magnum's Opus documentary?
I have not had a chance yet. It is on my short list. I've actually got it in my little watch later thing on YouTube. I just haven't had a chance to get to it.
So I watched his first one called Marking Out. It's on Amazon Prime. And funny enough, he had a podcast before, right? And that podcast, I'd seen the logo around and stuff like that. Never knew what it was. Here was his podcast. Guess what his premises was for that podcast?
If I'm trying to remember, which podcast he did. If I could remember the name of it, I would probably know the format. So I'm going to have to let you go ahead and tell me.
Same exact format we started with.
Just randomly watching bad shit and doing...
Mystery Science Theater 3000 with bad wrestling, yes. That's exactly how he described it in the documentary.
God damn it, I thought I had the original idea when I came up with it. Fuck.
Nope, yeah. I saw that, I was like, well, son of a bitch. I was like, Jared's 10 times behind the fucking ball on that one, so.
Yeah, I thought it was the original idea.
And they were three guys, and they did some interesting stuff. Like some of the stuff they showed was actually really fucking funny. And he's got a really good Roddy Piper. So if you ever see Magnum out and about, you need to ask him to do his Roddy Piper impression for you.
Yeah, if Magnum PK is listening to this, I'm going to apologize, but I legitimately did not know you fucking did that. And had I known that, we probably wouldn't even be doing this podcast now, honestly. No.
We don't know what we're going to be, so we could change again in a week or 2 weeks. The whole name could change soon. Who knows? We're in a state of weird limbo. We're
so far away from the original format that the name doesn't really make any sense. We're just kind of still sticking with it because we're like 120 come-on episodes right now. So.
Yeah, and I have 9 really good intros that I will have to get redone. And I'm dreading that part because I don't know when I'm going to see any wrestler to get intros again. So, I mean, outside of like seeing Bobby Beverly, I don't know when I could see anybody to get a damn intro again. So, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens moving forward here. Hopefully, thing could get by like the end of June, and Jay Lit still happens, and we can do everything then. But
I don't know, man. The latest guesstimates is that like we might be looking at fall before anything, so which is just scary.
Fuck that! Fuck that means no baseball and fucking football starting late. Shit, I can't deal with that shit, man. I need real life entertainment options besides whatever I can find on fucking TV.
Well, I mean, the XFL is folded, so it didn't last half as long as it did the first time.
Yeah, I think it would have worked if the whole country didn't shut the fuck down.
Well, shit, you could just wait and do next season. They're not even doing another season. They literally fired everybody. It's done. Like, holy shit. That's insane.
Yeah, well, when you can't make any money for a fucking year because everything's shut down, that's going to happen.
I thought they had enough money to lose for 3 years before, you know, making anything.
They had enough money to live for 3 years if they were able to sell tickets and merchandise and shit. When you can't go, when you don't have any ticket money coming in.
What are you talking about? They could still play games. I don't know what you're talking about. They're entertainment, necessary entertainment. They need to still be a thing.
Which is literally why every other sport fucking shut down except for WWE at this point.
And AEW. Corporate wrestling machines. Hurrah.
Like, even Dana White got told by ESPN and Disney, you know what? Fuck that. You're not running.
He's going to have the Mortal Kombat Island, dude. I can't wait. It's going to be badass.
I guess there's going to be a lot of shit streaming on Fight Pass. Is Fight Pass still a thing, actually? I have not heard about that in a while.
I guess Fight's still a thing. I don't know if Fight Pass is still a thing. I haven't watched UFC in forever, dude. I stopped watching UFC and mixed martial arts when, like, WEC was still a thing before they folded. Like, it's been a hot minute.
Yeah, I lasted a little bit longer than that. I remember WEC folding and the UFC getting the lighter weight title because of it, but I didn't really follow up much after that.
Well, it was always a discussion that Dana White said he would never have any of those belts, so that's why I love WEC, because they were quicker guys, and they also had, like, I think they had women fighting in there, too. Yeah, they had more women fighting, and UFC said they would never have that either. And then look how they changed that tone, you know, a couple years later, so...
Well, finally dawned on somebody, we own both of them anyway, so why not make them one thing, and then we can have title, more pay-per-view, people have more title. And then that kind of bombed me, and people didn't really do anything to actually make stars in the lighter weight division.
It's kind of hard to make stars when, you know, shit happens. Like,
it's kind of hard to make stars when your only marketable lighter weight guy, Uriah Faber, and he can play 8 straight fight too, but...
Yeah, dude, what the hell was up with that? Like, he was supposed to be their golden boy. Like, I remember, like, he was their big thing in WEC. And then...
Kuki became UFC. He couldn't win a fight to save his life. It was weird.
My guy was always Jose Aldo, so... He still did okay up until he fought Conor McGregor, so... Took a 15-second knockout or whatever.
My guy was going... Anthony Pettis after he did the fucking leap off the cage and roundhouse kick the fucking dude, knocked him cold.
Oh, man. Anyway, I guess we should talk about wrestling. So get back to wrestling since, I mean, we've been going for like 13 minutes and we haven't discussed what we're here to discuss. So
we were talking about wrestling. UFC is just like pro wrestling from like the 30s when they don't try to pretend it's legit.
Don't tell Ronda Rousey that.
You know, like I really believe Rousey can at least partially working, but like I can't disagree with what she says. But there are a lot of wrestling fans that are fucking trash, dude. Like they really are.
That's not her place to do that, though. Fuck her.
It's not.
She was trash in the ring anyway, and she hurt Alexa Bliss, so what are you going to do about that? But it's fake, according to her. But, you know, she injured somebody, so, you know. Well,
Remember when she first did that, it's all fake anyway shit, and all the fucking memes came out about all the shit that she was breaking down the fourth wall on, quote-unquote?
Was it the one where she was, like, having her hair braided while she was...
Yeah. The fucking... You know what? I actually did two of those myself. One was, and Funaki wasn't really SmackDown's number one announcer. And I actually got heat for fucking doing that one. People were pissed. And then the other one I did that actually got people popping. And the fourth, those were just little microscopic organism called midichlorians.
Oh, no.
I wish you guys could see the Skype video of Charlie Fake right there when I said that. But.
Well, I guess this kind of relates with MMA because the main event of the first show we're going to review here is King Mo against Loki. And their whole discussion is about how they've knocked out so many of their percentage of their opponents and stuff. So.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in depth when we get there. We're going to be covering MLW from... The previous 2 weeks, so it's going to be March 28th, I believe, and April 4th.
So, producer man, hit that music, and we'll be back after the break. No,
welcome back.
I love that intro, by the way. That's MLW's got some good music for their stuff.
Yeah, MLW is a really well-produced show. Like, even if you're not a big fan of the wrestling matches themselves, like, there's a lot of good. And I happen to like the wrestling matches, too, which would make it even better. But
so the first episode we're going to watch is episode 103. It aired on March 28th on BN Sports and MLW's YouTube page. And these were taped back on February 1st, so... They got the mileage out of their tapings, because this taping and the episode 104 was the final taping material from that taping. So like they got like a good couple months out of it.
Yeah, they got 6 weeks out of the Philly taping.
So they opened up with them showing that Team Filthy and American Top Team are kind of forming together as a super heel stable. And that was interesting because they did like a weird like interview with everything. And it was just a weird, like, promo. Like, they try to get everybody to talk, and, like, obviously some of the guys just aren't meant to talk, so.
Yeah, like, after they show the opening video package, they can interview with Dan Lambert. They're talking about King Mo been suspended, and Lambert, like, the suspension's under appeal. Yeah, and King Mo's going to be able to compete while it's under appeal. Dan Lambert actually has potential to be the biggest heel in this fucking company, and he's not a worker. But he actually is a pretty good heel promo.
Yeah, he's real good. So
I didn't mean to cut you off. A lot of people said that when he was with Impact too, when King Mo when Labor was managing Bobby Lashley at Impact, a lot of people said that too. So.
Okay. Yeah, he's definitely a good talker for it. So, what was really cool though is that Dominic Greeny came up with the Gracie Challenge, and he's gonna start paying people $1,000 to anybody who lasts 5 minutes with him. Which is a fun gimmick to do in the company.
Yeah, this is a great old-school gimmick. It actually goes back to the old Carney days. You last X amount of time with me, you'll win whatever the prize money was. God, I love this. This is old-school. And if they do this right, then whoever actually does last the 5 minutes with Greeny is going to be over fucking huge.
Right, and I like that Dominic Greeny is the Bone Collector, and... The last time we kind of saw this idea come around was in Spider-Man 1 with Bonesaw. So I thought that was kind of funny. Just like I wanted to like use the line too. It's like, I got you for 5 minutes.
Yeah, but the problem is when this angle is not done right, it becomes a waste of time. Like when Kurt Angle did the same thing and they wound up having Eugene be the guy to finally beat him. It's like, really? And that's nothing against Eugene. Like, I liked the gimmick when it started, and I love Nick Dinsmore. He's a great worker. But it was like, fuck, Eugene, after all this shit, like, you couldn't have used him to bring in a new guy that's never been seen before and get him over with it?
No, it had to be Eugene, dude.
It had to be fucking Eugene. Like, we got Matt Stryker out of the fucking gimmick because he lost his fucking job doing that fucking challenge. And they, but Eugene wanted to be the guy to fucking beat them. Like, what the hell?
So we get our first match out of this. It's Dominic Greeny with Kit Osborne against Dr. Dax in the prize fight challenge. And, this was a pretty quick match.
Yeah, lasted maybe a minute. It wasn't very long at all. Greeny gets the tap out. Dom's our guy. We love Dom. So we're very happy with him.
Yeah, we're not going to deny that one.
No, not at all.
And up next was a very fun promo with MJF.
Yeah, MJF is the best heel wrestler in wrestling right now. People hate him because they think he's a fucking dick. which is what you want your heel to be. You want to hate him because you fucking hate him.
Right on.
I don't think I've ever heard a bad MJF promo.
Oh, man. So I can't wait for us to discuss that match because actually I really enjoyed that match a lot. We'll get to that later here. What else do we got? There was a Pagano teaser video and a King Mo package. And AJ Kirsch, one of the announcers, discussed that Loki had knocked out 60% of his opponents over the last year, while King Mo knocked out 62% of his opponents throughout his MMA career. So they are kind of building this as a King of the Knockouts match, which I've seen Loki legitimately knock out a guy in a wrestling match. And that's about the only legitimate knockout he's gotten.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, you know, let's bring a little bit of kayfabe into it. He wins a lot of the fucking matches by knocking the shit out of it.
True. So, I mean, I get where they're coming from with it. Like, it just kind of made me laugh that, like, the one footage that they could have used of him legitimately knocking somebody out didn't even get, like, shown, which copyright
issue. They probably don't have the right to it.
But still, like, damn, that was a pretty crazy moment to have footage of, like, a rolling capo kick knocking somebody out cold at the start of a match. So, but up next was Alex Hammerstone against T-Hawk for the MLW Open Weight Championship.
Okay, real quick before we get into that, about this time they announced that Brian Pillman Jr. was supposed to wrestle Jordan Oliver, but he hadn't shown up to the building.
Okay. Is that what you got in your notes there?
Okay, so for T-Hawk and Hammerstone, this is a solid back-and-forth match. They make a big deal about that it's T-Hawk's debut, so people shouldn't know who he is, but it's Philly, so they do. Right. And that he's getting, pretty over with it. I have here, holy fuck, that knee to the head. Hammerstone just caught T-Hawk fuck, right square in the back of the fucking head with a knee and laid him out. It was fucking great. Yeah.
There's a lot of big power moves and stuff in this match. It was pretty crazy.
Both guys beat the hell out of each other for a while. Hammerstone finally wins with the Nightmare Pendulum. I didn't put a watch to it, but it had to be a good 12, 13 minutes and really good, really solid match.
Well, you know, you got to build up the that title so that it looks good when Mansoor takes it from him. So,
I believe they said that was Hammerstone's eighth title defense. If I heard them correctly,
sounds about right.
And you figure they do usually about one taping a month, think about an eight, 9 month reign out of it.
At this point, they said that they had reached out to Davey Boy Smith Jr., who was overseas doing media, and Smith was unable to reach Pillman. Then they did the PWI top 10 rankings for the MLW heavyweight contenders to the title held by Jacob Fatu. And there was no changes from the previous week, but we can go through this because we didn't discuss this the last time we did an MLW episode. And I think this is a fun thing, like if we did a weekly MLW show to kind of keep up on. Number 10 was King Mo. At number 9 was Low-Key. Number 8 was Mance Warner. Number 7 was MJF. Number 6 was Richard Holiday. Number 5 was Brian Pillman Jr. Number 4 was Tom Lawler. Number 3, Davey Boy Smith Jr. Number 2 is Myron Reed, the MLW middleweight champ. And Alex Hammerstone, the MLW national openweight champ, was number 1.
My one minor pet peeve, and I get that it could work, and I'm really nitpicking here, but should the middleweight champion really be a top contender for the heavyweight title? Like, isn't there a reason there's weight classes?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't put other champions in the ranking, really. I don't think that's the point of this. I think that they should have their own individual class, like, for everything. But whatever, I guess.
Yeah, I don't inherently mind the other champion being in it. Back when WCW would do their top 10 ranking every year, every week, the U.S. champion was always number one. The TV champion was rated pretty high. So, I mean, I kind of at least have enough of a vibe that I can buy that, but middleweight going for heavyweight title, like there's, if you have weight class, there should be a reason you have the weight class.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I kind of loved Rey Mysterio Jr. winning the world heavyweight title, he weighed 150 pounds at the time. Like, he what kind of fucking heavyweight? And that's why he actually dropped heavyweight from the title when he had it for a while.
Speaking of WCW, up next, Alicia Toot interviewed Conan.
Yeah.
About the AAA MLW show.
Yeah, which is the first episode of that, and the one airing this weekend. We'll start covering that here in a couple weeks, probably.
Yeah, or next week. I don't know what we're gonna do yet. So it's soon. Let's put it that way. Soon we'll cover it, possibly.
Yeah, but there was really nothing to the interview. It's like, hey, this gear is going to happen. No, we don't know what the matching car yet. We'll let you know. That's pretty much the gist of it.
So there's a Mance Warner promo where he basically sets up the empty arena loser leaves town match. And there's a highlight from King Mo attacking Killer Cross.
Okay, we also at this point have Injustice telling Alicia Toot that that she needs to go to the truck and see something right now.
Yeah.
Taking some stuff for later.
And then we get our main event of the evening, King Mo with Dan Lambert against Low-Key with Ross Von Erich. What do your notes say about this match?
I like this one a lot because this one's different than a lot of what we normally see with MLW. They treated this like an MMA fight right off the bat. They did some mat wrestling to start with. Then they started getting into the commission and the strikes. Key finally got an advantage with a capo kick, had him on the rope. At this point, everybody starts getting involved on the outside. While shit's going on the outside, Tom Lawler comes in, hits Low-Key with King Mo's umbrella. King Mo locks a commission in on Low-Key. Dan Lambert winds up throwing in Ross Von Erich's towel with the referee back turn and go, hey, look, the towel in the ring, and the bell ring gets lifted as a knockout victory, even though it's not a knockout victory. Like, I'm still confused on that. That kind of bothered me. Because technically a commission because the towel was thrown in, but beyond the weird finish, I like this a lot.
Yeah, it was a different type of match. It was, I didn't like all the fuckery at the end. I think they could have, like, toned that down a little bit. But anyway, I think that was probably on, well, he's really got to make me look bad if there's not lots of fuckery to end the match. So that's just Low-Key being Low-Key.
Yeah, I don't think you needed anything more than referee getting distracted by something outside. Here comes the towel. Like, I don't think it needed anything more than that. You knew Low-Key wasn't going to come back. He wasn't going to that fucking commission move for a long time, too. Like, they didn't need to do as much as they did to cut that up.
Right. So that was probably Low-Key's call. I bet money on it, knowing him.
Yeah, we do get a post-match interview here. Hey, what was that we just called? What did you just call? Low-Key getting knocked out. What the fuck? Even people in Philly know that what happened. Dan Lambert was actually fucking great on the mic. Great promo there. Then the show ends up going off the air. We get a footage of Injustice actually attacking Brian Pillman Jr. in the parking lot earlier in the night. So now we know why Brian Pillman Jr. is not there. It felt kind of weird closing the show with that. Like, I don't know if it felt like you'd want to show that before the main event started, but
no, I think it was like a shocking ending, I think is why they did it. So it kind of be like a shocking end to the show.
Okay, and I'm going to have to go on memory for the second show here. Apparently, I don't have my note for the second show in this notebook, and I don't know what other notebook I would put them in. I'm not going to go hunting for them now. So I'm going by memory on the second show here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Well, it looks like here we had an opening match of Douglas James against Septima Dragon. And there was like a brief pre-taped promo shown while the match was getting ready to start from Septimo Dragon. I don't know about you, but I don't trust a luchador that wears shorts in his match.
That a knock on me for hating referee and lucha matching with shorts, or
no? It was just like he's got like a neat mask, but like he was wearing like boxing shorts. Like it, I don't know, just a different look I wouldn't expect from a lucha wrestler. Like he looks like an indie guy, like a. I don't know.
Look like an outlaw mud show. Are we going that route with it, or are we not going?
No,
that
no. He just no. It's I mean he looks like a professional, but he's still just like he's not 400 pounds in a lucha mask, and he's obviously a guy that worked earlier in the night once already. Like no, that's not what I was getting at.
Okay, I did actually find my notes just in a different section of the book here. No.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, but yeah, they're a good fun opener. You could tell though, like even though it's a good fun opener, Vic would probably put in a play for the taping where the crowd's getting kind of burned out. Like I'm sure they're looking at even though it's the last match they actually showed from Philly, I'm sure they're maybe like the midpoint of the taping where they've seen some stars, they're still expecting to see some other stars, and these guys are kind of there. So you're not getting the crowd reactions I think you could have gotten out of it. But with the work it's called, everything looked good, everything crisp. The right guy goes over, I think. So.
Yeah, it was. I like Douglas James. He impressed me, actually. I thought he did really well, and I want to see more of him.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see more of him, and you're not going to see as much of Captain Mo Dragon, which is why we got the result we did. So I'm okay with it. From there, this show is really promo heavy after this, because there's only this match in the main event. So there's a lot of promo stuff in between here.
Do we just want to skip to the best promo of the show and
yeah, let's go ahead and play that Man Corner promo. We'll come back on the other side.
Okay.
Man, tonight is finally the night where you take on and hopefully take down MJF and
hopefully.
Hopefully.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You got me worked up there.
It's okay. I mean, I'm glad that you're worked up because you really do play off the crowd. You play off that energy. But tonight, it's a loser leaves town empty arena match. So how do you prepare for a match like that?
You got a point right there. Them people out there, that's Mancher's people. That's Mancher's fans. We out there on my back, baby. And Mancher drags them to every town we go to. MLW. You see, tonight, ain't nobody gonna be out there. If MJF wants to bring his boys out there, that's on him. I got some big friends too. Guy about this tall, guy about this tall. Maybe don't be out there. Maybe I don't need them. We'll find out when that time hits the fan out there, baby. But see, sometimes when old Mancer gets a little wild out there, it's better that people ain't there to see it. Because the shit that I'm gonna do tonight to you, MJF, I'm happy that nobody's going to see it inside that venue. They can watch it on TV. There's shit going down tonight that I don't want my mama to see. But see, they brought that on herself, didn't they? Yeah, they did. You got anything else for old Messer?
I have been doing a little bit of investigating, and you mentioned the Dynasty. I'm almost certain their plan is to infiltrate tonight and to interfere. So is there a way to plan for that, be ready for that?
Fuck them. That's the plan. Old Mancer will lay them all out one by one. Like I said earlier, I got some friends too. Maybe they'll be there tonight. Maybe I'll just need these right here. Either way, we'll find out, huh? Yeah, we're going to find out.
How good was that, dude? It caught me off guard because usually I feel like their stuff's edited. And he's just like, fuck them. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that was the amazing thing about that to me. And like, I'm expecting like anything else but that. Like, okay, shit, you get away with once in a while to dropping a fucking F bomb. Like, wow, dude.
Yeah, he's so fucking good, man. I think they're angling to put the company on his back if he sticks around with them. He's gonna be their top guy for a hot minute. If he wants to be.
I'm totally happy with him beating Jacob Fatu and carrying that company on his back. Like, I got no issue with that at all.
Absolutely. He's the I would even pay for their pay-per-view if they did that as a pay-per-view match. I'd pay for that pay-per-view. So just putting that out there. You guys, if MLW comes back and that's like down the road, like they're going to do that as a pay-per-view match, your boy is going to get it. Like, I think we're going to watch that one. Might have the gang over and watch old Mancer win the MLW belt.
Okay, so we go from that incredible promo to footage of Injustice attacking Brian Pillman Jr. at the end of last week. Triumphant fined $10,000 and suspended due to the attack. I didn't hear anything about an appeal on this suspension, but yeah, we'll see how that line can play out.
Kind of hard to appeal it when you got video of them doing it.
Yeah, well. And you not only have video of them doing it, but you like showed people the video yourself, like you douche on yourself. Like,
yeah.
How do you?
I mean, all right. I mean, it was a pretty good beatdown. I mean, it was believable to an extent.
Okay. So from there, we get L.A. Park, along with both of his guns, challenging Keiko Clown to kickman tag. Pick your partner. And I guess there's a single match with L.A. Park and Keiko Clown on the next set of tapings as well. So, well, I can't next set of tapings. The next set of tapings they're actually going to show, but they've already taped it.
Right. What do you got next? Is it time for the main event yet?
No, not yet. We got more promos.
More talking. Talk. Let's get to the action.
Yeah, that's the one issue I had with the show is that there's a lot of talking. But
scraping the bottom of that barrel.
Well, it's what happens when you've got like two matches in the can and you're trying to keep all the Mexico taping in one thing. You gotta kind of extend it out. I get what they're doing here. We have Alicia Toot outside Dynasty's locker room, hoping to get a comment from MJF. Holiday opens the door, like, do you have the proper paperwork to be here? Basically, they wouldn't let him in the locker room, and basically said if he ends up losing because you interrupted him, it's your fault.
Rarefied air that you could smell coming from the locker room.
Yeah. We then go to Alicia Toot interviewing Savio Vega backstage. If we're an empty arena match in an undisclosed location, there are a lot of fucking people in this arena. I'm throwing that out there.
Yeah, she's just bothering everybody backstage. Damn, Alicia.
But Kaby Vega basically said he picked a man corner to win. He's going to go after the rest of the dynasty himself. From there, we do get the PWI top 10. Looks like a couple of changes, nothing major. I think they flip-flop Lukey and King Mo, and that was good. I've got Lukey 10, King Mo 9 in this one. I think everything else is the game.
Well, yeah, after last week, yeah. So,
yeah, so I won't read the entire list from there.
Yeah, no need.
Yeah, we didn't have a recap of last week's main event. We've already covered that. We'll go ahead and skip on past that. They did, after that, show the Von Erich with a video message for Team Filthy. And basically, they're gonna come after them. Really basic. From there, MJF cut a great promo on Matt Warner. Told a story about how he got bullied in high school, wound up knocking the bully out, and he's gonna do the same thing to Matt Warner here during their match tonight. So I like that a lot. You don't feel sympathetic for MJF for a second there, and then you get so pissed off at the end that you don't feel bad for him anymore.
Sympathetic towards MJF. Get the fuck out of here.
He was bullied. He would have to defend himself. It's sad. Then you're like, he's still a dick. Go. Didn't last long. Okay, so then we then get injury updates on Killer Croc and Brian Pillman Jr. They make it a point to say that Killer Croc offered to sign a waiver so he could get a chance at King Mo, but his current employer in Stanford, Connecticut would not let him sign the waiver.
Yeah, that was pretty clever. I dug that.
Yeah, so basically, like, yeah, we know the angle's not over, but we're screwed. So, get car guy. And now we finally get to the main event.
Hell yeah.
I don't know about you, but I watched it with a couple of that cool lap beer.
Gotta watch Mancer hit that pay window.
Yep.
Okay. And what's the... We're so used to empty arenas at this point. How did this feel for you? Were you upset that it wasn't cinematic?
I was happy it wasn't cinematic after what I've seen this week, but yeah, don't get me started. We'll never get off the fucking air tonight.
You didn't want to see Mansoor in the NWO? I mean, you know he was part of WCW back in the day, but
I'll tell you this much about the Firefly Funhouse. I got where they were going with it initially. It Cena, trying to recount all his fears and trying to overcome all his past fears, going after the Fiend. But then they threw shit in, like the fucking NWO shit. It's like, this had nothing to do with anything with the story you're telling. Like, what the fuck is this? Literally, the only thing that saved that statement for me was the Vince McMahon puppet going, this is such good shit. Which is a t-shirt available on www.shop.com, which I might buy, but it's fucking awesome.
You were a big fan of the Blue Cage making its return, though?
I'm a fan of the Blue Cage making its return, but again, it made no sense. Like, what the fucking 1985 Saturday Night main event opening doing here?
What about the, here's the one that I know that you're going to irk some people with, because you and I went back and forth on, I believe it was two or three different forms of social media about the Boneyard match.
You know, oh, after King of Firefly Funhouse, I like the Boneyard match a lot fucking more than I did when I caught live. But it wasn't so much the fact that that was cinematic that bothered me, although it was kind of jarring getting used to it. We talked about this last time we had jumped on the show. When you have a show that's being done a certain way and then all of a sudden there's something that's taped go completely differently from everything you've done, it kind of takes you out of it. That was the Boneyard match for me.
Like, when the punches were like they had the punch sounds like dubbed in, I thought that was great. I was like, oh, this is amazing. I like when stuff is like so different from what you expected that it turns out like just, I had zero expectations going in. I wasn't looking forward to the match going in, and every single thing about it I enjoyed, other than like everybody's one complaint was they didn't have Limp Bizkit or they didn't have his other theme. I thought, no, they didn't go back on that. They used a newer like song. I believe it was a newer Metallica song. But like, I dug everything about it. I love the hearse pulling in. I love that it was AJ in the fucking hearse. I love that. I loved when the barn lit up and the doors came down and the druids came out and circled Taker. I love the OC got involved. I loved every single thing about it, man. It was just so much fun. It was one of those just like, this couldn't be good if you tried to treat it as just like a regular match with like none of these cinematic elements mixed with it. It would have been horrid. But when you added all that stuff to it, it made it really entertaining. And like, what the fuck are we going to see next? Because this is so insanely different and just fun. So
yeah, it was shot really well. It was very well lit. Like, you believe they're out there at night, but you could still actually see everything. I like when WCW would try to do that shit, they wouldn't give you any fucking light, you just kind of call shadow.
Were you afraid that there was going to be a WCW moment when Taker busted that window? And he, like, he was bleeding? He Goldberged himself.
And that was exactly the vision I had at that point. And I even liked where compared it to John Wayne, and it was perfect because basically right out of McClintock. No, man, you give me a good fight, I'm not going to bury you. Oh, fuck you, I'm going to bury you. I mean, I like that aspect of it, too. Yeah, but it was so completely different from everything else on the show that I had a hard time getting into it on the first showing. And a funny story about it.
You were very upset about it that night. Like, you were like, why is everybody like this? This is horrible.
I figured people would like it. I figured a lot more people would hate it than did. But it was like 93% of people polled loved it. I'm going, okay, I'm officially out of touch. Fuck them. I don't get why the being universally praised. And funny story about it though, I'm getting ready for night two, and I turn on the feed, not realizing they're showing part one. Right before it. So I flip in like 10 minutes left in the Boneyard match, going, oh fuck, I gotta get through the last 10 minutes of this shit again. And this time my son's in the room and he didn't watch it live.
Right.
So AJ ends up in the grave site and Taker buries him, and he takes off the tombstone and rest in peace AJ style with the years on it. And the question I get asked is, why did the Undertaker kill AJ style? I don't fucking know. I don't know.
He didn't. His glove came up at the end. He's still alive.
Go to the match with no contest then, Vicky. He wasn't completely buried alive. He was still sticking and can was still sticking out.
I don't know what the rules were for that match, man. I think it was if you got buried in the grave. I guess technically that counted as a victory for The Undertaker, even if you're still alive. I don't know.
That was part of my issue was we were like in that thing. I'm like, okay, I think this is a buried alive match based on what they've shown us, but no one can explain shit at the how this fucking thing works. Well, then again, no one explains shit in the Funhouse either. And correct me if I'm wrong, but when Funhouse Bray is counting the pin, when Fiend Bray got Cena pinned, he only counted to two. His hand didn't hit three times.
I don't remember, honestly. I enjoyed all the different weird segments from everything, and then it was
highly entertaining, but it wasn't a fucking wrestling match, and I would advertise a wrestling match. Like, that's blatant folk advertising.
Do you really want to see The Fiend and John Cena have a wrestling match? No, nobody wants to see that. Come on.
If they were having a brawl and doing some weapons and some cool shit.
No, they weren't going to be able to do that because every other match had those elements in it. So if you could plan this out and not have to do that, why do that? They had their own thing and it worked the way that they needed it to work. They didn't need to do any of that stuff. And Cena hasn't wrestled in a year. He doesn't. There's no point. Like, he's probably rusty as shit.
The best cinematic match of the week was Gargano and Ciampa on NXT. Maybe a little bit on the long side. I mean, maybe a little bit on the long side, but at least that looked like a fight that they just happened to film cinematically instead of being like a whole bunch of goofy shit.
I felt the whole match was unnecessary. I didn't care for this last chapter of this feud. Like, I really felt like it didn't need to happen. It was the injuries and shit that happened. That's where it ended. Unfortunately, we weren't going to get a finish to the feud the way it needed to happen. This felt super unnecessary. And
it needed to be done in front of a crowd that would give a shit. Just being an empty arena and
I don't even think cinematic. It was that. I don't think from the moment that he cost Ciampa the belt, I felt like it didn't need to happen. I didn't want to see them fight anymore. I was done with it. I was happy they were back together. I didn't want to see them split up again. I didn't need to see it. It didn't need to happen. It was pointless. And it nobody wanted it. Nobody. Except for Triple H and Shawn Michaels. That's the only reason we got it. That did not need to happen. And the only thing I did like out of it was the subtle hint of Killer Cross and Scarlett Bordeaux in the background, in the car, with the dome light on, as Candace and Johnny were leaving. I caught that on the first viewing. I was like, oh, that was pretty clever. I was like, that you know, it's so subtle, it's there, and that'll be
interesting. I actually missed until somebody pointed it out. Like, I didn't catch it. So,
I figured there was going to be something to it because, like, you know, Killer Cross's video played when they were in the ring, so I figured he was going to be involved somewhere at some point in it. So that was the only thing I cared about it. If you enjoyed it, that's good, I guess. Like, I tuned in just out of, like, morbid curiosity and just didn't care for anything. I didn't see anything that was any different. It was just like...
It didn't need to go 55 fucking minutes or whatever it was. I'm sure probably, like, 30-something and made longer with the commercial. It didn't need the whole, like, an hour. No, they could have done, like... Just... They could have filled time. They could have filled some time somewhere else and cut it down to, like, 20 minutes, I think. But I enjoyed it. It was Orton Edge all over again for me. Orton Edge, I love for 20 minutes, and then it just wouldn't fucking end. I even posted on Twitter about the 20-minute mark with Edge and Orton. That's the best match of the fucking weekend, and then it just never fucking ended.
Yeah, that was a lot of people said, like, that those two matches were like a tie for, like, matches that just were way too fucking long that didn't need to be that long, so... But let's get back to our main event because I kind of want to finish out on Ole Mansur before we go home. So before we hit that pay window, get that quarter pay that we get.
Well, okay, we'll hit that pay window because we're both already home. That's kind of the... Anyway, Kari.
So what did you think about this match? Was there anything specific that stuck out to you that you thought was fun or different?
Yeah, different
use of a bolt cutter.
And the bolt cutter was a neat little touch there. I like the fact that they brawled throughout the arena. They were brawling on top of the bleacher. They were fighting on the balcony a little bit. They actually kind of teased MJF throwing man off the balcony. God, man, I like the fact that they did all that. I took me a while to find it. I'm like, okay, that's not the arena in Philly. So where did they film this? This was filmed in Dallas in January.
Yeah.
They kept on this thing for 3 fucking months.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember they said that this was going to be filmed in Dallas. And,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was fun. I think I would have liked this a lot better if we didn't have fucking 2 months of empty arena magic. Well, a month of empty arena magic at this point. You feel like 2 months?
Yeah, unfortunately, they were kind of, ahead of their time with it. This would have been fun if we were still getting regular live arena filled with wrestling fans, and then this being an empty arena match would have been, something special, but kind of ruined by everything else, so.
Yeah, but Mantwarner gets the pop-up headbutt and the big lariat for the win. MJF officially out of MLW, which comes no surprise to anybody.
And Mancer hits that pay window, gets them lot beers.
And get that WCW title, can get with vacant. He can just say, I'm WCW champion now. Fuck you.
Well, if you go to the Wikipedia page, at some point somebody tried to set that up, actually. There's pictures of it. Yeah. But somebody keeps changing it back.
Or did you see somebody on Wikipedia took the FMW belt off of Ed and gave it to somebody else for mentioning it on podcast?
Well, yeah, it's Adam Van from At Odds with Wrestling. He cut a scathing promo on this week's At Odds with Wrestling and then claimed the title. So things have been forming up. It'll be me and Orange Flacity facing off for the number one contendership to the title, and Adam Van and Young Ed facing each other at some point this summer at some show. So there will be two FMW hardcore matches taking place at an AIW show, of which I will be in one of them.
Do I have to bring my gear? Do I have to be count three count?
Yes, you will be my referee. And because I'm also going to need you when I do the quick roll up on somebody to get the belt. So I have to bring my own referee with me. 24/7 rule.
Even vacant watching the unfold go on. I don't know.
It's going to be a good time, man. Once we can get back together and do these things, it's going to be full bore, and I can't wait.
Yeah, once pro wrestling again, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a wild fucking atmosphere. That's all I know.
Yeah, I cannot wait for the first AIW show after everything opens up. That crowd can be so fucking hot. It's going to be so fucking starved for wrestling at that point.
It's going to be so hot. It's going to be fucking, like, literal riot scary, dude. I feel like the energy in that place is going to be something really special and borderline scary with how passionate everybody's going to be about everything.
And that really makes me hope that it could be in Jaylit Weekend the first weekend back. I don't know if we're going to be ready that soon. I hope so, but that would be at least from the us fans, that would be the perfect weekend to come back.
And the big thing is, like, people are like, oh, they can't open stuff back up too soon, and I'm like, honestly, I think the first thing that once stuff starts getting lifted is people are going to want to go to wrestling and concerts and shit again, like. That's going to be the first big thing. Like, if I got to wear a mask, that's fine. I'll wear a mask, but I need to go to wrestling. I got a mask right here. I got my Super Dragon mask that I will wear. I need to go to wrestling again. I need to be there. I need to see everybody and do all that. So.
Yeah, and I need that Pod Van Dam meetup to fucking happen. I'm go up because they had to cancel that too. Honestly.
Well. Yeah, that needs to happen. You need to join their Patreon so you can join the Discord chat and see all the shit we get up to in there.
Yeah, I might do that because I've heard, and not even just the Discord, but some of the other content they throw up is really good too. I might just end up doing that. But
yeah, the one thing they did with Dr. Dan and Dominic Guarini with them watching episodes of Law and Order SVU was super fun. I can't wait for the next episode of that. And then they just did my worst match ever with Worldwide, Alex Keller. And there was their Sans Ring death match from AIW that they had with Tom Lawler, which I'm also part of the AIW Patreon. And that match was real fun. If you ever wanted to see Worldwide Alex Keller deep throat a banana, you get to see it in that match. So check that out.
I don't know if I want to see that, but that match become such a legendary thing. I might join the AIW Patreon for a month just to watch that.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth a watch. I've actually floated the idea of doing another one of those, but with Matt Justice and Bobby Beverly. Because, you know, those two are fucking crazy, and I might need you for that one, too. So I might need a referee to referee that insane match, which I'm working on getting that to happen. So we need some new wrestling during this for AIW. So I'm trying to, like, see if I can get it to happen. I don't know.
Yeah. I can't wait for that shit to start back up. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. Well, we've been going for an hour, and that's longer than we've gone for in the last month. So I think we should wrap it up. Tell everybody where they can find you.
All right. On the social media pages, you can find me on Twitter at PW Critique. You can find me at Facebook and every once in a blue moon on Instagram at Jayhawk1539. You can occasionally find me streaming on Twitch, TFM Jayhawk, although I'll be the first one to admit my stream sucks. If you don't follow me, it's not going to break my heart.
You can find me at Charlie_Butters. Check out our podcast friends, Wrestling Cheers, Pod Van Dam, and the Super Fantastic Podcast, and also At Odds with Wrestling. Also check out our other non-podcast friends, Good Company in Cleveland, Ohio, when they reopen, and Smoke and Jay's Barbecue. I am craving barbecue sliders and mac and cheese.
I wish they'd carry out and delivery out this way, because I've been fucking craving some barbecue, I'm not going to lie.
Maybe we'll have to work out something and set up a day where we can go get some or something. And meet up with him and get some off of him. It'd be worth it. All right. And I guess that's going to do it for us this week, so... Stay safe, stay healthy. Don't jerk off when you have Cheeto dust on your hands.
Hopefully you can through the credits last week and you get that joke. Otherwise, that's going to make no fucking sense.
Take it sleazy, everybody. Bye.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double check does what the he wants. Oh, about to go stupid again. She out the roof of the Benz. I'm about to do it again. I'ma fuck two of her friends. Just made a flip out the rock. Fuck the Frank Mueller, I jump out the jeweler again. I fuck my money up on the re-up, but I got it right back and I blew it again. Pay for the bricks. Bank selling niggas like you and again. Trap ain't bump like this, it's so sick. So the boy shit start you and again. Ooh.